Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome all of us who joined us here this morning. Called in at 646-668-2636. And for those on the line, I see you here on the switchboard, on the switchboard. If you press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you into the conversation if you want to share. We will continue our conversation talking about effective prayer, that all men shall pray. And I just want to continue to encourage that we're taking the next couple of episodes in the upcoming weeks to talk about prayer and our prayer life, our individual prayer life, and the importance of starting to get to a place where we are developing our prayer lives, we are growing in our prayer lives, and we are focusing. I think that's the biggest thing we want to be is effective in that we're focusing in on prayer. So we're going to have that discussion today, and I pray that something is said that would encourage you to be able to press in. No matter where you are in your Christian walk, in your spiritual maturity, spiritual level, or how long you've been in the church, or wherever you are, that now to today is the day that God is calling us to grow in our faith and grow in this walk. Amen. Good morning, brothers. I got a couple on the line here. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir?
Good morning, my brother. I can hear you loud and clear. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. Good to hear your voice. Everything well with you, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything. To God be the glory. Another wonderful day to just give him praise and thank him for what he's doing. For the things that I see and the things that I haven't yet seen, just thanking God for his grace and mercy.
Amen. 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 Pastor Watkins, can you hear me, sir? Over.
Good morning, Deacon Farr. Yes, sir. I can hear you. It's a great opportunity to be here. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. Well, we got our audio check out the way. So we're going to jump right in here. again, we're talking about prayer, gentlemen. Because, you know, I believe, even in the midst of studying and preparing for this, that it was going on in this culture, what's going on today. This happens to be, February, the last Saturday in February, and already in this new year, in this 2023, so many things have transpired. And as I always say, in our personal lives, because if we knew what we were going, what we have been through already, if we knew it was coming 6 months ago, you know, we might have made different choices. However, we are where we are today, and we can continue to press. And I think that's the importance of prayer, because if we're praying on purpose and praying God's will, we can be able to endure the things, and also we can rejoice in the blessing. Because it is also, it's not all negative, because God is manifesting some things that we prayed about previously, and it starts to come to pass. We're being restored, we're being renewed, we're being revived. And we're giving new opportunities, because every day is a new opportunity. Amen. But let me go, before we move forward, I'm going to open us in prayer. You know, as always, I'm going to share some things coming up, some opportunities for men's fellowship that are coming up here in the next 2 months or so. Amen. Father God, first of all, I want to say thank you. I thank you, God, for who you are. Father, right now, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for who you are. You are creator. You're our father. We are your children. And we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, because without his shed blood and sacrifice, we would not be where we are today. We would not be able to pray to you. We would not be able for you to hear our prayers if it was not for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we just say thank you this morning, oh God. Father, I ask you to continue to touch my brothers that are on the line, all those who called in, those who may be listening online, and those who may be listening on the link after this day. But God, you know the hearts and desires and the needs of men. I ask that you would touch their lives, their emotional, physical, spiritual, their bodies, all the things that challenge us as being men, as being leaders in the home, in the community, and in the church. So I ask your grace and mercy over their lives. I ask that you guide them by your Holy Spirit. Continue to use them, God, and bring them, oh God, into a place, God, where they're living lives that glorify you. And we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So, brothers, again, we got a couple of events coming up I wanted to share. The first one is going to be March the 11th. Saturday, March the 11th. At Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland, having a men's workshop. It's going to start at 9:30 a.m., and the theme of the workshop is emotions. We're going to talk a little bit about how, I've talked to the pastor leader there, and he's going to touch a little bit on emotions and how our emotions affect us, how we should control and respond to the things that we deal with, and how we emotionally respond, and how we should be when we're connected with God and the Holy Spirit that will guide our emotions and how we respond to the life and to the choices we have to make and deal with those things that God is using to strengthen us, grow us, prune us, and just shape us into who he wants us to be, that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. So that's one. That's March the 11th at 9:30 at Grace Community Church. And the next one after that, and one in April 22nd again. We're putting this one out. This is Jesus Lives Ministry in Glen Burnie, Maryland. 10:30 a.m., March the 22nd in the Glen Burnie Crane Highway location. Matter of fact, every next week in March, we'll have the flyers and the details. We're asking for $10 donations to support the event. There's going to be a Cash App set up, and for you new technology guys, and then we're going to have another way you can reach out to get us the donations, or just to let you know, we are most likely be able to collect at the door, but we are looking for Cash App, and all that information and flyer will be out by next week. Next week is March. Amen. Man, we're moving along. But amen. So those are two things right now. And again, if you have any other men's events coming up in your ministry, your local congregation, I encourage you to reach out, and we'll post it. We'll put it out there. Oh, speaking of that, oh, man, I just remembered one. First Saturday, every first Saturday of the month, starting in March, every first Saturday, Church of the Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland on York Road at 10 a.m. Every first Saturday, starting in March, men's gathering, men's fellowship, Bible study. We're reading a book. We're reading one of the books by Bishop Jerome Stokes, and we're going to be going through and discussing it. The book is called I Refuse, Life-Changing Declarations You Can Make Today by Dr. Jerome Stokes. Jerome Stokes, and that's Church of Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. If you call me, I'll send you the link, the address, and Brother Elder Rondell Hall is the men's ministry leader there, and they're starting that up. I just looking at my phone, I just remembered that because he sent me that. So I encourage you to come out and be part of that also. Amen. So we have three events. I just want to make sure I get these events out there. It's March the 11th, Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland, starting every first Saturday, starting in March, the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord at 10 a.m., and then April 22nd at 10:30 a.m., Jesus Lives Ministries Men's Group, Boys to Men, will be gathering at 10:30 a.m. Amen? So I encourage you again, if anything's going on in your church and your men's group, please let us know. We'll put it out there as we continue to move forward and produce the Issues Christian Men's Talk. And also, I said it in my last program, we're working on the details. March is going to be, we're going to go back to video. We're working on location. We got to get together with that. And I'll be sending out invites for that because we're going to start recording. And right now, it's going to be looking like it's going to maybe Saturday evenings around 4 or 5. I'm not 4 or 5, but yeah, between 4 or 5 and 6 p.m. How about that? So we'll have more details as we get closer, and we're going to start recording video and going back to, we're setting up the YouTube page, the YouTube channel, and the Facebook Live. We're getting all that technical stuff put together, and we're going to be back going face-to-face, in-person, in video, and doing Issues Christian Men's Talk. Also, I want to encourage you, any topics you want to discuss, if you want to be on the discussion panel, please let me know, and any topics you want us to touch upon and cover, also text those and send us out to us. You can also message us on Facebook, Issues Christian Talk on our Facebook page. Amen? Amen. That's it. I'm done. It sounds like a church service. I got a bunch of now. Gentlemen, we're jumping right on in. I'm going to come to you, Elder Mark. You're going to be our transition. Effective prayer, as all right. Men should pray. Effective prayer. What do we do as men that we need to be more effective in our prayer life as you see it, sir? What do you say, sir?
Well, you know, and forgive me for background noise. My grandson just woke up. But, you know, I have to express where I was initially coming back into church. I felt like, you know, my prayers weren't effective or weren't worthy because I didn't have the big words. I didn't have what I felt was proper way of prayer. I didn't have the words to speak that sounded so, you know, so eloquent. And I realized I had to learn and realize that our prayer is simply a communication with God. It's taking time to just talk to God and commune with Him. And it's not about having all the big words to explain and express, and those words aren't doing anything to make our prayer stronger. What our effective prayer comes from our heart, that we truly believe God is who God truly is, that He is Abba Father, that He is the Almighty, that He is our Savior, our Creator, our faith rests in Him, that we believe that what we ask of God, He is going to move and do on our behalf as we lean upon Him. And, you know, for so long, I didn't want to pray out loud. I was worried about praying in front of someone else because I felt like I didn't have the words to express the correct or strong enough prayer, and that because I couldn't pray like somebody else or pray like those that I looked up to or, you know, or that I thought had a stronger prayer life because of the words that they used. I felt like I couldn't press in or I couldn't get the results, that God wouldn't hear me in the same way. But I realized that as I grew and my understanding changed, and this is just, you know, thoughts early on coming to Christ, and even places where I felt weak myself, I had to understand that God just wants us to talk to him. God just wants us to open our hearts and just expose how we feel. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and just saying, God, I'm really hurting in my situation. God, I feel like, sometimes I feel like you're not, you may not even be close or you may not even hear me, but I'm just asking that you do hear me. I just want to talk to you from a place of father, of son, of child, mm-hmm. to father, of, you know, I just want to outreach to you and let you know, God, I love you and I'm trusting you. Even though it hurts and even though it doesn't feel good, even though the situation may not look like everything is going to be the way I want it to be, I'm just trusting that you're moving on my behalf. And when I reached that place, I began to feel like my prayers had an effect because my mind was changing. The very thoughts that I had, the limitations that I put on myself and my prayer life began to break down because I felt a connection to God. I felt like I was really just talking to my Father, requesting what I needed and hearing back from him the words that I needed to hear, the things that I needed to hear that let me know he was hearing my request, that he knew my name, that he knew who I was and understood what I was going through. And what I was going through was only a shaping for my next day of praise. So I say to you, man, listening, those on the line, those that go back and listen, effective prayer is what comes from the heart. When you tear down the wall that we built up to say that we can't do this or to say that we're, you know, we're lacking in this, but we just open our heart and let God know how we feel and just trust God and believe God's going to move. Our faith tells us that no matter what the situation looks like, he's moving and that all things are working for our good. And we have to believe that. And when we believe God, our prayers are effective. Our hearts, our minds are changed to see that he is moving no matter what the situation. And as we ask for his guidance, as we ask for his grace, he continually provides. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And brothers, that's one of the things we have to always, again, that's where we are to call to grow and mature. I thank you for that, brother, because, you know, that level of transparency is good. Because we all have to understand, we all start somewhere. And again, it's about how we feel about ourselves, our confidence in our faith, and in a lot is how we build up in this Christian walk. And our prayer life is the same way. We have to recognize where we are, and now what are we going to do that God, that the Holy Spirit can grow us, that we can be more comfortable knowing that, again, our prayer is talking to him. You know, effective prayer is more to do, has more to do with the person who's praying than how we pray. I think all of us have dealt with that at some time in our Christian walk. It's more about us than how. God is not looking for a performance or how we pray. He's looking for us to pray, to come to him, to come to him humbly, to come with him with confidence. I'm going to give a quick scripture, and I'm coming to you, Pastor Larry. You know, at 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the word says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And that only way we can build that confidence is this faith walk, that we know that God, you hear me. God, I'm living a life obedient to you. I'm seeking you. I'm desiring to know you more. And this is all what we start to build that confidence in our prayer life. Because I think the biggest thing that will hinder people and hinder men in their prayer is their level of faith that God will hear. Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir?
We have to know with assurance that God is waiting to hear our prayers. He's waiting for us to come talk to him. He's waiting for us to come and express our needs, our wants, our desires, the things that we are going through. He's sitting there waiting. He's waiting for us to do this. And the Bible tells us that when he talked to Moses face to face like a man talks to his friend. In Genesis, we read that God had a regular meeting with Adam in the cool of the day to talk about things that had happened that day. So God is sitting there waiting for us to come talk to him. He's waiting for us to communicate. And we can come with confidence knowing that he hears our prayers. Now, you know, it's sometimes you can talk to people and you know they're not paying any attention to you. You know that they're not listening to you. They're not even grasping the conversation that you're trying to have. But we have the understanding and confidence to know that God is listening. He understands. He already knows. He's just waiting for us to come talk to him about it. And if we come and talk to him about it, like Elder Mark said, not with all the theatrics, not with all the poetic words, but just a simple conversation with just simple words that says, God, it hurts right here. God, I need you to move on this issue at this time, and I need you to do it quickly because if you don't, this is going to happen. And God is waiting for this conversation. He's waiting to hear what you have to say. And he wants you to come talk to him. He wants you to come and express yourself. This is how a relationship is built, through conversation, through communication. Any relationship you have, there has to be a give and take. There has to be one listening and one ready to respond and one talking. And then you have to have that effective communication where it's not superficial, it's specific, and it's reaching to the topics that we need for him to understand. So God is sitting there waiting for us to come talk to him. And he's not waiting for what we see on Sunday morning. He's not waiting for what we see the deacons and the preachers do. He's not waiting for all that. He's waiting for you to say, hey, God, how you doing, man? I'm doing all right. This is hurting right here. This is hurting right there. Or I need you to move right here. My family's good, but I got this issue. And to talk to him just the way you would talk to your friends. That's the way God wants us to come. That's effective prayer. When you're communicating and you're expressing and it's understood what you're looking for and what you want. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree. And like I say, it's a habit forming. It's something we have to be, we have to continuously seeking to be able to talk to him. Because, again, it goes back to, this is why Christ died, to give us access. Remember in the Old Testament, the temple and the veil and the whole, and even let's go back to the tabernacle. You mentioned Moses. The tabernacle was where the presence of God was, and to have access to the tabernacle, we had to do, Israel had to do something. And they had to walk, they had to prepare and wash themselves. I think back to when Israel oppresses Moses. They didn't want to hear Moses anymore. They want to talk to God themselves. They tried to make that move. But then when the lightning and thunder and the roaring and the mountains started to shake, they got scared and said, oh no, Moses, you go and just tell us what he said, because we don't want to go up there. We're afraid now. We now, in the New Testament body of Christ, because of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, we now have access to that God. And we have to go in boldness and assurance that he's going to hear us not because of us. You have to remember that, too, because when we talk about all those lovely and fancy words that we might hear people pray and all these verbs and adjectives and nouns and all this stuff people put together, it doesn't impress God. God wants to hear our prayer, your prayer. Let me say it like this. He wants to hear your prayer from your heart, that you are sincere and you are focused on who he is and who you are to him. And you talked about, and I like when you mentioned the quote of the day, you know, we skip over that, that God, he seeks our presence. As he sought Adam, as now us as New Testament believers, as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons, he's seeking our presence for we to come before him in prayer and through the Holy Spirit to understand and to know his will. Through the Holy Spirit, the three parts of prayer, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and your voice. And where's your heart at? Amen? Amen. Again, this is Christian Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. Today we're talking about prayer. We want to encourage you. As always, I want to give a couple of scriptures as a background foundation for your study later on that you can go back and look and seek out the Word of God and what it's saying and who we are as you continue to have this conversation. But I'm going to share these scriptures right now, and then I'm going to come back to you, Elder Mark. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Ask this for you, for the edification and for your time to step back and consider how do we have an effective prayer life. Amen. So, Elder Mark, let me say this. When we're talking about prayer, how do we get to a place where the scripture tells us that we should pray at all times, that we should continually be in prayer? Matter of fact, let me flip to it real quick. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First up, we have chapter 5. As soon as I flip through my paper Bible. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Pages. All right, I got it. Hold on. Here we go, chapter 5. And I'm going to 17 real quick. I'm going to come to you, Elder Mark, because the Word of God says it's only three words, so Elder Mark, you got to be ready.
All right.
Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's the word. That's it. How do we get to that place? What does that mean? And again, this is who we are in Christ as men of God, as husbands, fathers, and sons. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Well, you know, I was doing some studying this morning, and the devotional that I was studying was talked about an intimate friendship with God. And he desires an intimate friendship, but how do we get to that level of intimacy? So let's just take it into a more worldly experience. Each and every one of us as men has had that girlfriend, or it may be our wife now, that we spent hours on the phone talking to get an intimate conversation going, to continue to get to know them, to get them to understand where you're coming from, who you are, to understand who they are. But there's a level of desire that you want to come. You always want to talk. You always have something to say. The conversation. I remember times where, you know, I've stayed on the phone for hours from 10 o'clock at night till 3 a.m. Don't know what we talked about, but the conversation was just a chance to just get to know one another. That's what God desires. He wants us to have a desire in our heart to just want to continually get to know him, to converse with him. And when I say converse, that means it's two ways. It's not just you saying, God, I want, God, I need, and then hanging up the phone or just getting up off your knees. It's, God, I want and I need, but what do you need of me? What are you asking of me? It's a communal conversation where you're not only speaking, but you're taking time to listen. And when it's saying, to not cease in your prayer. Don't stop talking to God no matter what you're doing. Your life should be a conversation with God. That means everything that you do should be in a position that you are consistently asking God for direction in what's the next step. You're asking for advisement in what I should do next. And then you're saying, God, is this pleasing unto you? And if not, show me which way I should turn, which thing I should do next, how I should walk, how I should act, how I should live. And as I'm doing so, I'm praying that my desire is that everything that I'm doing is pleasing to you, because I want an intimate relationship with you. just like in that conversation with that girl when you were growing up, when you were young, you didn't want to say the wrong thing. With God, we don't want to do the wrong thing. We want to do the thing that's pleasing to him, that opens his heart to us, that we can open our heart to him, that we are in a place that everything that we do, everything that we say puts a smile on his face. I remember my desire changed about my prayer in that I went from a place of I'm just asking God to help me get through this situation, to help me understand this situation or to help me deal with this pain, this suffering. But I wasn't taking the time to ask God, what do you have for me in this pain? What do you have for me in this suffering? What is it that I'm supposed to learn? What is it that I'm supposed to understand? Because I know that you're speaking to me. He never stops speaking. But what the problem is that we have is we either didn't start listening or we stopped listening because we weren't hearing the words we wanted to hear. Sometimes we have to recognize that when we pray, that when we're asking God for guidance, he's going to take us down a road that we weren't planning on going. We're going to go through and face some things that we didn't think we should have seen, or we're not seeing what we think we're not seeing what we want to see. But in all of that, if we are continually praying, if we are continually leaning upon God, if we are praying without ceasing, we're in a communal conversation, we're in a continual conversation, we're hearing direction so that even when it doesn't feel good, the brunt of the pain is not resting upon our shoulders alone. God is walking with us, supporting us, carrying us through, taking us through, so that we can be in a place that not only is our prayer that of a request, but a prayer of praise, because we see what he's doing, how he's doing, and that he's continually doing for us. Back to you, sir.
Amen, 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 gentlemen. And again, brothers, I like the metaphor, the example you use. Because for all the brothers out there that are married, you know your wife is not the same woman that you started out with. When you were courting her, pursuing her, dating, whatever, the relationship, I pray the relationship has grown from that to now. And in what God has planned for your marriage relationship in the future, you can continue to grow. And that means a continuous conversation. You pray without ceasing. You continue to minister and pursue your wife without ceasing. Elder Elijah Watkins, what do you say, sir?
I agree with that analogy wholeheartedly, man, because even if you're in a relationship and you have a wife and you know that you all touch base throughout the day, you know, you check in with her or she checks in with you to see how things are going with your day or to make sure that little issues need to be taken care of. You know, are you picking up food for dinner? I'm going to be late, so I need you to take care of this. Can you pick up the kids? All of these things are things that we communicate throughout the day. And if that's the case in a physical relationship, why can't we do that with God? Why can't we check with him throughout the day? Why can't we talk to him all day long? Why can't we just say, God, you know what? I had my prayer time with you this morning, but I got a couple things going on today. I got a meeting with some people, and I need you to go in there for that meeting and work things out. I need you to go ahead of me and work the situation out. And then as you're in the meeting, you say, God, give me the words. I need your help. I don't understand what these people are asking for. You are driving down the street. You get cut off. God, help me not to cuss this person out. Help me not to flip somebody off. You're in the grocery store. God, these prices are killing me, man. We need to, I need to figure out a way to make my budget work. Help me. Give me some wisdom in this. Or God, help me not to to flip off when somebody hits me in the ankle with their buggy. You know, these are things that God is saying, come talk to me. You know, you can talk to me all day long. In my life, my communication with God is all day long. I'm asking him. I'm talking to him. God, I need you to help give me some wisdom on this situation. God, I thank you because you helped me with that situation. God, what's going on here? I'm not understanding. What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What do you want me to learn in this situation? Because you have me here for a reason. What's the reason? God, help me not to throw my coffee at this person who just cut me off. All of these things are things that we can express to God. God, I'm pissed at you because this is not what I was expecting. This is what I was asking for, but this is what you gave me. Is there something different? What's going on here? All of this is effective communication because it's going on throughout the day, and it's not just one conversation, but it's conversations throughout the whole day where we're talking back and forth, and we're listening. We're trying to figure things out. We're trying to work things together. And this is what prayer without ceasing is. It's that constant communication with God to let him know what you're going through so that he can talk back to you and tell you what you need. What do you think, Deke?
Amen. Amen. And you're correct, sir. You're correct. These are all elements that help to shape us in having effective prayer, shapes our prayer life. Because brothers, again, here it's Christian Men Talk. We, as being on discussion panel and sharing, we don't put ourselves on a pedestal, knowing that we all have it together. But yet, we speak words of encouragement to you through these conversations. I pray that it stir up your spirit. Start to think about your prayer life. Start to meditate on how and when you're praying and what you're praying. You know, because our prayer life, again, it's our life. It's not what is seen, like I said, praying in public. It's what we do in our secret place. Because we all have stuff going on deep inside that we don't tell folk, that's not exposed to the natural world, but it is exposed in the spiritual realm, and God knows. So are we praying out of that? Are we not praying superficially? Amen. Well, we're going to shift gears real quick because we're talking about things that are effective and that will give us effective prayer lives. Here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, brothers, I encourage you to join us Saturday mornings live by calling in at 646-668-2636. Join the conversation, being part of the panel. And also, you can go on our Facebook page as always and on and also, we have a Twitter account, too, Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, and we post the things there, post devotionals, and a lot of reading material. Also, we're working on, we had a winter reading list, and we're working on the summer and spring reading list. Just some of the books and materials that we want to read for our spiritual growth, for our intellectual, emotional, and spiritual growth in the Word of God. By some orthodox and trustworthy authors. I usually don't have no crazy guys out there. The most of the books are highly recommended, orthodox, but they're giving wisdom specifically to men in our Christian walk. Amen? Amen. So, brothers, we're going to shift a little bit. I want to talk about one of the things that will hinder us in an effective prayer life. Our unconfessed sin. Again, I just mentioned it. That deep inside that can hinder our prayer life. Unconfessed sin, unconfessed hidden things that we think nobody knows about, that we keep pushed down. And it goes back to, have we asked forgiveness for the sins that we thought, our thoughts, our motives, the things that we say behind closed doors? Let me say it like this. Living an impure life. The secret life will hinder our prayers. What do you say, Elder Mark?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, the unconfessing, God wants us to just openly, to be honest. You know, sometimes we feel like we put a mask on, and if we don't discuss it, it's really not out there. But God knows all things about us. He knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hidden agendas. He knows everything about us. He knows us from beginning to end. There's nothing that we can hide from God. And when we are talking about effective communication, and I'm just going to continue this analogy. When you try to hide something from your wife, and you just work and work trying to hide it, sooner or later your conversation just becomes tainted. It's not even a calm conversation because you're in such an uproar that you gotta continually hide this thing. You gotta continually move. You gotta continually find ways to just talk around this issue that you know is going on. Talk around this thing that you've done, this thing that you haven't confessed. The same thing with God. Our prayer begins to become to break down. The effectiveness of our prayers is distorted because we're trying to maintain something that God already knows. We're trying to hide something. We're trying to put on a mask when God already sees. Just like most of the time, our wives see right through the very thing that we're trying to hide. Like, it's been times in my life where I tried to hide something from my wife, and my wife's like, I knew the entire time. I just wanted you to be honest about it. God just wants us to be honest about it so that we openly deal with what's in our heart, what's on our mind, what we're working with, what we're feeling. Like Pastor Larry said, God wants us to come with an open heart and be honest about our situation. Honest that, God, right now, I want to cuss this person out. Honest that, God, right now, I want to zap out. Everything in me has me in the mindset that I just want to throw my hands up. And sometimes, literally, I want to throw my hands up. I'm ready to fight in this situation. But I trust you. I'm leaning upon you. And I confess that the very thoughts that I have aren't like you. But I recognize that in you, Lord God, that through you, Lord God, you can help me in this situation. I just have to be open and honest about that very thing that I'm thinking, that very thing that I feel. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. We are flesh. We all fall into temptation. We all do these very things that are unlike God, that don't represent, that don't represent God in the midst of this dark world. We all fall short. But the blessing is that when we repent, when we ask God for forgiveness, he wipes the slate clean. He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't see it as our shortcoming. He looks at it as another opportunity to help us to understand who he is. So when we hold on to those things and we don't confess our sins openly to God, we don't repent for the things that were going on, we're literally putting up a wall between us and God in our conversation, because after a while you get to the point where I can't talk to you, God, because I have so much in my heart that's not like you. We don't want to be in that place. I know for myself, that was where I was going to. That's where I was, the road that I was falling into, that I was traveling. I was trying to hide how I felt, how I really felt about my situation, how I felt about my illness, how I felt about the things that I was going on financially. But when I became open to God and just had a conversation that said, God, I just need you, and I don't know what else to do. I can't be the man in this situation. I have to be the child that's weak, that doesn't know what to do, that's asking Abba Father to help me help me take this next step. And when I did that, when I confessed how I really felt, when I openly said, God, I just need you, I felt like my prayer was effective because he heard me, because the very thing that I needed to hear, the very answer that I was looking for came to fruition. I saw those things because I opened my mouth to say, Lord God, I confess. I apologize. I'm sorry. I have fallen short. But I turn it over to you and ask that you would lead me so that I don't make these same decisions again. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir? An unconfessed sin, those secret things you got to hide.
I say all the time that sin makes a coward out of all of us. Well, what does that mean? That means that because we've sinned in an area, we are cautious, we're afraid, we are reluctant to talk about that particular issue because we know that we have hidden issues within ourselves that makes this issue a touchy issue with us. See, I remember when I was a kid, man, and I had issues with, I used to mess up or I did something wrong, and the one thing that I was worried about was the consequences of what would happen if this was found out that I did it. and how my father would react. Would I get punished? Would I get a whipping? Would he be disappointed in me? What was coming? Because I knew that I had done wrong. I knew that I had messed up. But now I'm worried about the consequences. And what keeps us from coming to God sometimes is the fact that we are worried about what kind of consequences are going to come, because we know we messed up. We know we have these issues. We know that we did wrong. But is God going to be disappointed in me? Is God now going to retaliate and have some type of punishment? Is God going to treat me as if an earthly father would, and there is some chastisement behind all of this? But here's the thing with my dad was that he already knew what I had done. He was just waiting for me to come and tell him and confess it. He already knew I had messed up. He already knew that I had done something wrong. He already knew that I had screwed up. And even though, yeah, he was mad at me, even though, yeah, I did something that displeased him, even though, yeah, I had made that mistake, he still, first of all, corrected me. And then he also let me know that even though I have done wrong, I'm still his son. And that all the things that he's teaching me and talking to me about are through his love. And the same goes with God. If we mess up, God is faithful to forgive us. Now, there is some form of chastisement. We always have to deal with consequences of our actions. That's with everything. Whether you hide it or you don't hide it, you got to deal with the consequences of your actions. But God wants us to understand that he's going to forgive us, he's going to love us, and he's not going to judge us. God has no respect of person. He's not going to judge you based on the things that you do, but he understands that we slip up. All have sinned and come short. As Elder Mark said, all have sinned and come short. God knows this already. He knows already what we've done. And it's just our own egos, our own insecurities that keep us from bringing in these things to God so that we can be forgiven of them, so that we can get the issue corrected, so we understand how to move the next time or how to overcome it the next time, or that we recognize it the next time and ask for somebody to help us to get through it the next time. But we have to be willing to put our ego aside, to put all these things aside, to put our fears aside, thinking that there's going to be retribution or retaliation for what we've done, and understand that God already knows and he already cares and he's ready to forgive us. What do you think, sir? D, you there?
I don't know, Pastor. I think we may have lost him.
So what do you think about those comments, sir?
I definitely agree. Like I said, you know, it's like the white. You know, we think that God doesn't know, and if we don't, and once again, it is our own insecurities that if we speak it out in the open, that there's going to be some sort of, you know, God's going to not love us the same, or, you know, and I really believe that comes from a lack of an intimate relationship with God, knowing who God really is, knowing his characteristics, knowing that God will forgive us, knowing that God loves us through our situations, through our issues, through our problems, knowing that he's going to continue to do everything to lift us up. You know, I think that if we really knew God, if we really know God, there will be so many things that we would do different. Not necessarily in our behaviors, because we're, like I said, like you said, and I agree, we're always going to fall short. Flesh, we are encased in flesh, so we always will be fighting the temptations of flesh. and we will always fall short. We are of a sinful nature. But the desire is that we grow spiritually, that we grow stronger, that we can decrease that that level of agreement with flesh. But we have to understand that God is moving on us and moving through us with the Holy Spirit, that as we go, as we have a stronger relationship with Him, we get to a place that we recognize in His characteristics, He is our Father. He knows all, sees all. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows us through and through. But He's just waiting for our honesty, for our humility. I think that's a part of
Amen.
It. And you said it best. For men, it's an ego thing. And we've talked about this before. You know, it's almost like that win and loss column. You know, men don't want to have that loss. So we don't want to be the ones who admit that we messed up. We don't want to be the ones that say we did wrong, that we fell short. I mean, it's obvious. Anyone who sees the record, anyone who sees our situation can understand that, hey, we took a loss in this. We made the wrong decision, whether it be, like you said, tossing the coffee at that man in traffic that cuts you off, or flipping the bird, or, you know, or cussing somebody out who ran into you in the store, whatever the case may be, we all will fall short in some way. But knowing
Amen.
That
Amen.
God just wants us to be honest about how we feel in the situation. Just like when we go through hurt, I mean, when in our relationships with our wives, sometimes you don't tell your wife how bad something hurts because it feels like I'm not being a man to say that I'm emotionally threatened, I'm emotionally hurt in this situation, so I'm not going to say anything. But what happens is now our reaction, we have a wall built up that stops the intimacy, stops the intimate relationship. And it's the same thing with our prayer. When we don't openly confess how we feel and say, God, I'm really hurting in this situation, we build up a wall that says we can't tell God. And if we can't tell God, then we can't have effective prayer, because we can't have an open communication, an open conversation. God is looking for that intimate friendship. He's looking for us to come to Him open-hearted and say, I just need it. I feel like this. The situation looks like this, and I don't know what to do in it. I fell short because my flesh took strength. My flesh had more strength than I did spiritually in this moment. But thank you, God, for walking with me, taking me and forgiving me, and allowing me to see that even though the flesh won, I'm not going to take a loss, because I'm going to lean upon you in the next step. And this loss is not a loss. It's a lesson. And from this lesson, I know that I can depend on you, lean upon you, and trust you. So the next time, I won't fall short. You know, I think it's crazy. We ask, why are we always going through? We have to recognize anything that God brings us to, He's bringing us through it as well.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me now? Amen. I'm back.
Yeah.
Check,
amen.
Check.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
We got
yes,
you.
Sir,
oh,
we can hear you. Clear.
Oh, all right. Here you go. I mean, I'm talking to my listeners like my kids, man. Come on. Amen. We had a little technical difficulty, but your brother carried it on. Thank you. We're going to wrap up here. But, again, you're listening. This is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, we are live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. in a continuing conversation. Today we were talking about effective prayer and that all men should pray. We have Pastor Larry Watkins and Elder Mark Gaines on the line. And I pray, brothers, that something was said that would encourage you, that would help you in this walk, help you, and also that you could share this with someone that you're mentoring or discipling, because we need each other. Men, we need each other. We need one another. We need men to mentor men. We need men to disciple men in the body of Christ. As we move forward, as Christ, until Christ come back, we have to continually pursue the growth and the strengthening of men within the body of Christ, that the church can fulfill its purpose and plan on the earth. So I encourage you to share this with your brothers in your circle of influence. And if you don't have a circle, if you don't have those brothers around you who can hold you accountable, who can challenge you in your growth, who can encourage you in what you're doing and what the ministry or whatever you're doing to serve God and to support you,
And that goes in our ministries and our families and our marriages. We're not to be alone. We're not to be an island. We are called to a community, the body of Christ, to encourage and strengthen one another. So who's in your circle? Check yourself. It's already up. This is 2023. And that's something we talked about before. You know, when the last time you added someone to your circle, you met someone new, you engaged a new brother. That's why we invite you to, I invite you to all the men's ministry events I put out there. It's different ministries, but it's one God. If it's one Lord, one God, and one Spirit, it doesn't matter about an individual congregation. When men of God who are like-minded come together, we can encourage one another. Of building our network, of our prayer network, our connection with other men. And you never know, the struggles and the things you've overcome may help another brother who's in the midst of going through that you might not have even known. But if we don't get out of our little boxes and cliques and expand the base, you know, it's so much about it. Just imagine if the 12 never left Jerusalem, if they never left Judea, if they never left and didn't go where God told them to go, where would the gospel be 2,000 years later if they stayed there? So if they didn't make those other connections, if they didn't challenge themselves, if they didn't take a risk, where would the gospel be? Because remember, this whole thing started with 12 men who were not part of the religious leadership of Israel. Jesus came and he picked 12 guys that today, I don't even know half of them brothers, y'all wouldn't even let them in the church, or y'all wouldn't even let them stay in the church. If they did the things they did then, now, because apparently we got rules and regulations of being a church member, but I'm not going to go down that path. That's another show. Amen. Hey, we're going to go around. Pastor Watkins, we'll start with you, and then Elder Mark, you have any closing comments? And any closing comments? And again, this is Vinicius Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Saturday morning live. We do these conversations also during the week. We record some. If you're interested in Saturday, it's not good for you, but you got this text and this link, reach out to me because I record during the week for episodes that have been downloaded and sent out. So if Saturday morning is inconvenient, just let us know. We can put together a discussion panel on the topic, and we can hash that thing out and share it with the brethren out there. Amen. Well, Pastor Watkins and Elder Mark, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate y'all coming in and sharing and spending this Saturday morning with us. And again, I continue to be blessed, you and your families, and continue to do what God has called you to do in your individual ministries. Let's go around real quick for your closing comments. We'll start with Pastor Larry and then Elder Mark. May Elder Mark, you can close us out in prayer, sir.
Deacon, as always, man, I appreciate you. I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to come and share in the conversation. It's always a pleasure. Elder Mark, it's always a pleasure to hear your voice and be in your presence, man, and to hear your wisdom and knowledge, sir. Thank you so much. I pray blessings upon your family and everything that concerns you. For the men out there, if you have issues and you want to continue talking about them, or you have something that you want to express, or you have a prayer request or anything like that, and you want to reach Pastor Larry, you can reach me at Pastor Larry Watkins, Watkins, @gmail.com. And if you have something you want to talk about, if you have a question, anything, email me there. I'll take a look at it and we will get back to you. If I don't have the answers, we know somebody that does have the answers so we can get it back to you. And my final thought is that we have to remember that God is waiting to hear from us. He's sitting there. He already knows the things that we are going through and the things that we're dealing with. He sees all. He knows all. He's omniscient, meaning he's all knowing. So we have to understand that he is sitting there waiting for us to come talk to him. He's sitting there waiting for us to come and have that conversation with him. We can come and talk to him all day long, and it doesn't matter about the words, the theatrics, the poeticness. We don't have to go through all that. We can just simply talk to him face to face like a man talks to his friend. That's all God wants for us, and that is simply effective prayer. And through this, we have demystified, we've detangled, we've done all of this thing to let you understand that prayer is simply a communication with God so that you're improving the relationship that goes on between you two. He's sitting there waiting. Why not talk to him? Why not sit there and have a conversation with him and let him minister to you the things that you need to hear and to understand to get to make this life better? And if we do that, our life would be somewhat easier. Our life would be greater. Our life would definitely be blessed. But we have to be willing to talk to him and to listen to him. Thank you again, Deke. Appreciate you, Elder.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Larry, I appreciate you, my brother. Wisdom, it just flows from you. I'm always blessed to be in your presence as well. So I thank you for the words that you spoke over me. I speak the same over you, just blessings in your ministry, in your life, everything contained concerning you. Deacon Farr, it's always a pleasure, my brother. I thank you as my accountability partner, as my friend, as my brother, as a role model. I look up to you, brother. I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate that I'm surrounded by men, like-minded men, with a desire to just have a prayer life, to have an intimate friendship with God. And I say to you, man, Pastor Larry couldn't have said it better. There's nothing I could add or that I would even think to take away. Everything that he said about having an intimate relationship, everything that he said about God just wanting to hear from us. God just wants to talk to us all day. He's literally sitting on his throne waiting to hear your voice, waiting to hear you say, oh, God, waiting to hear you say, Lord, I need, waiting for you just to hear your outcry of your praise, of your request, whatever it is, just to talk like friends. He's just waiting. And I thank God for the opportunity to just open my heart and say, God, I need you. God, I'm here. God, I want to hear from you. God, I just want to spend the time talking with you. We all pray that you will grow into that place, that you recognize that prayer is not a complex conversation. It's just a simple conversation that says, God, I'm here, and God, I want to spend time with you. Father God, we honor you, we bless you, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for revelation to understand that you aren't looking, Lord God, for the theatrics. You aren't looking, Lord God, for the boisterous words, Lord God, but you're looking for a simple conversation with us, a time where we just reach out to spend time with you, that we just desire to bless you, we desire to hear from you, we desire to just talk to you, Lord God, in a simple conversation that says you are God, that we are your servant, and that we humbly present ourselves for your direction, for your grace, your mercy, your favor, Lord God, your love, and your forgiveness. We say thank you. We lift a hallelujah unto you, giving you praise, glory, and honor for today, for yesterday, and tomorrow. And thank you for the men that have taken the time to listen. I pray that something is said, Lord God, that would just open their hearts, open their mind for a desire to just commune and to talk with you. We honor you, Lord God. We praise you. We bless you. And praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.